Dish from Waitrose is an SE Creative Studio production.
Clarence Court is home to Britain's widest collection of free-range eggs since 1928. Our traditional heritage birds produce a distinctively rich and iconic yolk that takes home cooking from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Loved by chefs and favoured by foodies, each shell is stamped with its own royal crown. It's time for you to discover the wonderful world of fabulous eggs by fabulous birds. Clarence Court.
Our podcast might contain the occasional mild swear word or adult theme. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dish in 2023. I'm Nick Grimshaw.
And I'm Angela Hartnett.
Welcome to our podcast that hopefully makes you laugh, makes you think, and also, ideally, makes you hungry. And maybe makes you want to cook.
Maybe, yes, it made you want to cook the whole time we've been doing this.
Yeah. I have done bits. You know, I've done this podcast, I've noticed. I do that. With a pan.
Flip the pan a bit.
Yeah, like that chefy pan.
When nothing's in it, just flipping pans, walking around the house.
No, I do like a... Like
you do
that.
Like a flip. All right,
yeah,
marvellous. All right, so we're going to cook along with me mainly, because you're not really helping, even though we're now probably coming up to series 3. You'll find all the recipes at waitrose.com/dishrecipes.
Right, Ange, let me run you through what I've knocked up today. I have done some brown sauce with onions and mushrooms in. On the side, a little bit of steak, and then I've chopped up some dandelions.
And I'm going to sprinkle that. Did you pick them from the park?
Yeah,
lovely.
So that's what we've got.
Foraging,
yeah. No, what have we got? Because this smells and looks delish.
Well, we're post-Christmas, so we should really be having some lovely vegetable cassoulet, but instead we're going to have steak.
Yeah.
So beef stroganoff, which is sort of Hungarian inspired, so a bit of paprika in there, some lovely mushrooms, onions, cooked down as you identified, lovely bit of cream, beef stock, finished with parsley.
Oh, delicious.
For our guest.
Because our guest's quite meaty.
Loves meat, loves it.
And I feel like his wife is not meaty.
She's not. She likes fish.
Oh, she does.
I've cooked for them both, you see.
Oh, really?
And depending what you cook, you've always got an allergy with those two. You know what I'm saying? God. They're a problematic couple.
Absolute nightmare. Where did you cook for them?
Fortnum & Mason's for a big dinner. So depending what I was cooking, one would have, you know, meat, the other fish. Lovely couple, though.
Lovely couple.
They are showbiz royalty.
But we have the meaty half today.
Yeah, we have the meaty half.
The meaty half of Tess and Vernon.
Indeed.
Vernon Kay is going to be joining us on the podcast today. I feel like Vernon's going to be someone who loves talking about food.
Yeah, he loves food. You know, loves it. I think he likes cooking as well. Do you see him one time on his social? He did a great sandwich where I think
he put
monster munches in there, mayonnaise, coleslaw. Honestly, I was like salivating. Yeah, should have just got Vernon to come and make the sandwich.
Yeah, monster munch potty instead of this.
Exactly.
I met Vernon at T4.
Oh.
We both started on T4. I remember we did one together and I think it was for like a Christmas special or like a Vernon Kay celebration day or something. But then of course we did Radio 1 together.
Yeah, he was on after you, wasn't he?
He was on after me. And he was always hungover.
Weren't you always hungover?
Oh, I was still out, mate. Well, the last time we saw this guy, we were launching this very podcast when we went and joined him for breakfast on Radio 2. Please can we make some noise and welcome to Dish, Mr. Vernon Kay!
Hi, gang. I love a whoop whoop.
I love a whoop whoop.
You know what? When you introduce, whoop whoop.
I love a whoop whoop.
I don't think you grow with a whoop whoop.
No.
You deserve it.
I do love it. I do love a round of applause. How do you feel about it on the radio?
But what is weird about radio, and you know this more than anyone, Nick, is when you're in the studio, it's just you and the producer.
Yeah.
Right? But when you put the fader up, it's like millions of people are listening. And you're like, one person when the fader's down, millions when the fader's up. And the conversation differences between fader down and fader up are really interesting.
Yeah, sometimes I hate her, I love her.
Yeah. Oh, what a cove. What a lovely person. You know what I mean? You kind of like...
But last time we saw you was when we came and saw you on Radio 2.
Yeah, it was good. And I'm not just saying it, but we had an amazing reaction of you guys in the studio. And that's why I wanted to do this.
You're very relaxed. You make... guests relax. So it's an easy gig.
Well, it's a chatting to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And especially, like, we did bring up the way that you have behaved in the past on the radio, Nicholas.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you raised the bar. Well, kind of lowered it. for people to stride over. Yeah. Saying, well, hang on a minute. If Grimmie can do, you know, if you can go from straight from the Brits to live on air, you know, with global pop stars, then surely we can chat about car parking. You know what I mean? Surely.
Probably worse than that. Yeah. We should do it. But we did love coming in that morning. Yeah. We had such a good time. We really, really did. You're so good at it.
It's a nice medium, you know, because your frame of mind has to relate to what you think the frame of mind of the listeners is, which is why radio is so good at telling stories, at getting messages across. And I think the best piece of advice I've ever had was from our old boss, Ben Cooper. And he said, look, all I want you to do is go out, live the life of the listener and just tell stories.
Mm. Yeah.
So you can, it's kind of, I guess, adult Jack and Ori.
But when you were younger, did you always want to do it? Did you always want to do radio and do telly? Because I was obsessed with radio when I was when I was little.
Well, that's what you wanted to do, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I'm always envious of your career path, you know, both of you, really, because you're doing exactly what you loved. And I didn't have a clue. So I knew, and this sounds really weird, I knew deep down that I wouldn't be tapping keys, I wouldn't be in an office. And my dad always encouraged me to be a lorry driver because he always used to say, oh, you can always come and drive for me.
Yeah.
So... that was always an option, but I knew it wasn't what I was going to do.
Yeah.
I just had this feeling that during GCSEs and A-levels, and I did environmental science at college, just because I didn't start puberty till late, and I couldn't imagine myself, you know, 17 years old, talking like this, working as a gas fitter, or a builder. You know what I mean? Excuse me, sir, where's the blowtorch?
The what? Blowtorch game!
You know what I mean? So I thought, I better carry on my education so that at least I get one hair on my chin. But I had this sixth sense, this weird feeling that something was going to happen.
Yeah.
And when the scouting to be a model happened, it was exciting. It was something different. I wasn't, because at the time I was cleaning phone boxes, working for my cousin in his DIY shop.
So what did your mum and dad say when you sort of, they came home and said, I'm going to be a model, that's it?
Or... Oh, well, I came home and went, hey, I've been scouted by this modelling agency in London. My dad went, and? My mum in the kitchen went, you're like a bloody girl! So they had like long hair. You know, proper northern reaction.
Yeah.
And I kind of, no, they were like, oh, whatever, just go and do it. And that it happened on a Friday. And the following Friday, I was living in a bed and breakfast in Paddington.
That's so, nuts.
Yeah, it took a week for me. And I haven't been back.
Yeah.
So it's the most weird thing
that
ever.
That is nuts. Yeah. And what did you think when they approached you? Were you like, yes, I will model?
There was me and two friends, and we went there basically to do a little bit of Christmas shopping, but we knew that the Close Show Live was full of girls. Three guys, night out in Birmingham the Thursday before. It was great fun, and we just ended up, once we'd done a lap of it, you think, do you know what? Not all it's hyped up to be this.
Yeah.
Let's just sit in the bar. So we just sat in the bar and we talked about football and this, that, and the other. And then this guy, who I'm still friends with today, James Knoll from Select Model Management, came up to me and said, listen, you got the look of the moment. Would you mind doing this catwalk show for us? And then it was my mates. It was more my mates going, go on, do it.
Yeah, I dare you.
We'll have a right laugh.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, all right then. So I got on there. I was absolutely bladdered. And I tried walking in a straight line and I'm all over the place. And then at the end of it, the guy said, look, if you want to, we'll offer you the chance to come down to London and see how it goes. And that was it. Never looked back. I didn't do any modelling.
Did you not?
No, God, no. I did more magazine and that kind of
thing. Yeah. Oh, well, we actually have...
we have pictures. Proof.
Of more magazine here. Now, this picture, when I knew we were having a picture of you, Vernon, modelling, I was like, can't wait to see this, but it's well embarrassing and actually fantastic.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
It's me in a pair of cargo pants on trend still. Mm-hmm. Topless with my arms across my torso because I was embarrassed the fact that I didn't have a rippling abdomen. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, if I hide my chest,
do this
and breathe in a little
pose.
Bit, like, you know, and try and flex this bicep. So if you look at my left bicep, I'm squeezing it against my chest, so it looks a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Flan it out. Flan it out. And I love that this picture because Vernon actually has this framed when you walk into his house. Full size, it's huge.
Hey, you joke. Gladys has got that on the landing.
No, she has not.
Yeah, she has.
Amazing.
She has.
Amazing.
But yeah, so that's how it all started. And it made me realise how fashion is more about you as a person and not what is deemed fashionable.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's about how comfortable you are in what you are wearing and what messages you personally want to give out. All right, so I brought you both presents.
Oh, yeah. Post-Christmas.
Yeah.
How lovely.
Yeah, I know. Nick, you first.
Okay.
All right. Now, I know that you love your interior design.
Yeah.
And I know you love your art.
Yeah.
So what I thought I would bring you is...
Frame picture of Vernon, frame picture of Vernon.
Fingers crossed. I will frame this for you.
Okay.
But anyone who's got framed pictures needs a picture hanging set. So I brought you a spirit level.
Thank you, Vernon.
And I brought you some picture hooks.
Oh, my God. Not even joking.
No.
I actually do love this.
Because that's for your legit art.
Yeah, that's if it's heavy.
Yeah.
This one's
for your plasterboard.
Yeah, one's for plasterboard.
That's your IKEA one.
I've got a sawtooth hanger, a picture hook. And do you know what I've always wanted?
A spirit level.
I love this. Well, thanks, Vernon.
He said Nick and Angela love booze. I thought, well, there's a spirit level.
Very good. Come on.
And Angela, I know, obviously, with everything you've achieved in the world of food, I just thought sometimes you need a break from the exquisite, delicious meals you cook. So I brought you a Greg's £25 gift voucher. That's all right.
I like the Greg sausage roll.
£25
That's perfect. When he comes over next week, that's his supper.
Wait. Hang on. I know where these items are from. The high street outside the BBC has a hardware shop and a Greg's. We are going to have today, cooked by Angela, a steak and mushroom stroganoff. Now, you, Vernon, doing double fist pump right now on the podcast.
Yeah.
Tell me about meat in your house.
I'm a big red meat eater. Mm. Love a steak. I really do. And it's been a journey, really, my love of red meat, because I've got to meet people like Angela and other chefs. And I think meat gets better the more experienced you become from cooking it.
Right.
And a revelation that I didn't know when I was, I think the day before or the day after you and Angela came into the show, we had Gordon Ramsay on, and he was saying 4 minutes and then let it sit.
Mm-hmm.
Like two each side. Angela, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, he's right.
But just letting it sit is the key to unlocking all the flavour in meat. And ever since I learnt that, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you've got, I never used to let it rest.
Awesome, I know. Because you think, oh, it's going to be cold.
It's going to be cold.
Well, to be fair, that might be a little bit
cold. Well, you've been doing a podcast, to be fair. You know, don't let it rest while you're hosting an entire podcast. Thanks, Ange.
Yeah, thank you, Angela. But I think you learn about the different cuts of meat, and I like marbling in my meat.
Oh, yeah, I like a marbling.
Yeah, I love a bit of that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a Wagyu fan, because to me that feels too fatty.
Yeah, I do like a Wagyu when I've been out and had a Wagyu. Tasty, yeah. I never thought I liked, and shout out to my mum, I never thought I liked meat at all, but my mum just used to like cook it for about 4 days. So like she came round to mine recently and I made fish, and my mum was like, that fish won't be done. I said, Angela Hartnett said, and my mum's like, won't be done. I said, Angela knows how to cook it. You don't. Yeah. So I did what you said, and my mum was like, oh, it's perfect, that. But my mum used to always like overcook meat, always, and I always never thought I liked it. Mm. So I'm same as you, I got into it later.
Can we dive in?
You can dive in, because it has been sitting there a little bit. So it's beef stroganoff.
Lovely. Mm.
So it's roasted beef with a lovely mushroom onion sauce.
Delicious. Happy.
Sauce nice and hot, meat's a little bit chill.
Oh, it's mega.
Mmm, so mega.
What did you cook the meat in? Oil or butter?
A little bit of oil and paprika, but I do use butter. When I do a steak, I like to put a little bit of butter.
What's the perfect steak prep? Because I used to put oil on the meat, but when I watch you do it, you put oil in the pan.
I put it in the pan, then I put a little bit of butter, caramelise it, depending on the cut of meat. If it's fatty, you don't need to put butter and oil because it's got a natural fat. But if it's like the fillet, which is very lean, then I'd put butter to make it keep it nice and moist.
Mm.
There you go. But Gordon's right. It's all about letting it rest. You don't have to eat meat every day of the week. But when you do eat it, just buy the best you can afford, because it's going to make a difference in flavour.
I made it last night, steak, and I did it too long.
Hot pan, not long.
It's like leather.
You know, and just really quick and easy.
Every now and again, I invite my former American football teammates over.
Mm.
And the first barbecue was a big fail because I bought the meat. And when you're entertaining five or six lads who are massive, you realize that whatever meat you bought is not enough. Mm-hmm. Mm. So then the second barbecue, I said, listen, you bring your meat, I'll bring the booze. Mm. Yeah. And we're drinking nice wine, yeah, copious amounts of beers. It's still cheaper than the meat.
All the meat, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, these boys go in. So you just bring meat, mm-hmm, I'll do salad and wine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And
that's love that invite. Bring meat.
Yeah, yeah. Bring meat.
That is such a good Northern invite. Yeah. Bring meat.
They come with like oil barrels full of meat. Duh. Just, and the barbecue's going for like four or 5 hours, and it's like, lads, I'm gonna, this might be a second gas bottle. You know what I mean? And it's just going away, and they're showing it down, and great fun. They're, and then, you know, we get a bit leery, and the paintball guns come out, and it gets a bit, you know, a bit rowdy.
You love that football, though.
Yeah, you love it, don't you?
Yeah, I like the American football.
When did you first get into American football?
It was something that was on the telly in the background, like after the Wonder Years with Winnie Cooper and Kevin Arnold.
Oh, yeah, on a Sunday.
Oh, what
love
TV
the Wonder
show.
Years.
I used to love Wonder Years. Yeah. Forgot about that.
So I taught myself the rules, got into it, ended up playing for a team in Manchester, and then put it to one side when I went to attempt higher education.
Yeah.
And then I did a TV show for ITV where we rebuilt our old American football team from the late 80s to play again. So it's a lot of 40-year-old blokes.
Amazing.
We managed to find 54 of them.
Yeah.
Right. And we made the fit. We started practicing with 35.
Yeah.
And we did the actual program with 6 because everyone literally fell apart. You know, we had guys blow out the knees, the Achilles was going, ankles were all over the place, a couple of concussions. We started with everyone saying, yeah, I could play again. Yeah. But we ended up fielding 6. And I was one of them. And then I took it up again and ended up winning 2 and losing 2 national championships at the tender age of 36. Yeah.
Wow. So
become a big thing over here now. Mm. I mean, there's a big league and stuff.
I think it's one of those sports that people will be aware of but don't know about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It will always be that.
Yeah, and what's with the tattoo on the back then? That's all to do with the football as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I had a tattoo of Eli Manning on my back because I was a guest on his YouTube show.
Yeah.
And it's a big show in America. But when they say, we want you to go on as a guest and represent American football fans in the UK, they have no idea that I hosted Splash.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And so I went on there and I told him that I had a bet with my best friend and the winner would get the cash and the loser would have the face of the winning quarterback tattooed on their back. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, how did that go for you? And I said, well, I'll show you. And revealed his face on my back. And it wasn't a real tattoo, but the cool thing was it's made by a tattoo company called Tattooed Now, who make fake tattoos for film and television. Mm-hmm. And they've got to be on. If you're recording a movie or, let's say, Peaky Blinders or whatever, you know that that tattoo's got to be on for a minimum of 6 months. So they're pretty semi-permanent.
God,
So how long was it on your back for?
It could stay there if you wanted for 3 months.
Right. Do you know what? When I saw all this coming out in the paper, I thought it was real. You know, you like flick through stuff and like you're not reading properly. And I was like, I did know he liked American football. I was like,
I thought it was real.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Mate,
she would kill me.
Yeah, imagine. Well, that
Tess
I was
go
amazed.
Ballistic.
Yeah. So why did you get it off?
So what I did was you have to kind of baste yourself pretty much in olive oil to get to let it soak in, because it's like you put sealant on it so that water can't get in it and lift it off your back. It's mad. It's like creosote in a fence.
Yeah.
But with a tattoo. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Bit of basting.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So you let the olive oil settle in and then you start scrubbing basically. So my back's red raw at the moment.
Jeez.
But I had to get rid of it because it was pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. Pretty bad, yeah. You'd never go down that route.
Well, I think what it's taught me is...
It's not a no.
What it's taught me is if I was going to have a tattoo, you could have one made and try it out.
Yeah.
See if you like it first.
I wish I'd done that before some of these ones on my arms. Terrible ones. Look at that. That was meant to be an eyeball.
Who did that? I mean, it does look like you drew that.
Was that Tenerife after Bobby's and Busby's?
But Ange, you were saying you cut for Vernon and Tess before.
Yes, a few times actually. Mm. We've got a mutual friend, which we're going to get you onto one of these lovely lunches.
Everyone's been to these lunches.
You're coming along. You know me and Vern now, so you're in the door.
I'll be in there.
But and it depends, because there's always a theme. Like, there's been ones where there's been Peter Hannon, who's this amazing butcher from Northern Ireland, so it's all about steak. So Tess, who doesn't eat meat, would not necessarily come, and Vern's saying, it's all right, I'm eating for both of us, it's fine. Yeah, and then we've done truffle lunches and stuff, but actually, Tess has got a great diet. She always looks amazing. Yeah, yeah. She loves fish, loves veg and stuff.
Tess makes me want to be healthy.
Moderation.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, she looks healthy.
But what she does is, which I could never do, I like feeling full.
Mm. Yeah.
And Tess will go, oh, I've had enough. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, I respect that and I really admire that. Whereas I'm like, I've got half a steak, seven chips.
Yeah. I'll eat the rest.
A cup full of peas left. I'm carrying on. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Like,
and when you walk out going, whoa.
I know.
And that feeling, no matter how many times it happens, it's a horrible feeling when you're like, you can't sleep. But then literally the next night, you're like, whoa.
Dribbling on the way home in your Uber.
Yeah,
you're because like, you've eaten so much. You're in a carb coma.
No, it's true. No, that's why I was like, because you will send me the list in case I've set you next to Vern. And I go, oh, great. And then I go, oh, bloody hell, that means I'm going to drink. No, but it's true. If you sit next to someone who's being moderate, you sort of moderate your behaviour a bit. But then I always think, oh, it's Vern. Great.
Well, it's Vern. We'll have a few.
We'll get involved. But also, the beauty of those lunches is that the host, Ewan Fences, would put people together who wouldn't necessarily bump into each other in social circles.
Yeah.
So you get a real broad spanning collection
it's
of people.
It's good to put in a list of people. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and because the table is so tight, you can't hide.
Yeah, right.
So you have no choice but to chat.
Just to have a chat.
And it's nice to, you know, because the majority of people in there are in the media in some way, shape or form, everyone can talk, but people still find it difficult to start a conversation.
Yeah,
so you always revert back to either taxi or barber's chat. You know what I mean? You're all right? Where have you been for summer? What are you doing for your holidays?
Yeah.
It's like, it's the basics. You know
it's nice it's like winter now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like that sort of stuff. You're like, what?
Whereas you know that you're going to be talking about, oh, what do you think of Renoir's work in 18 whatever? Do you know what I mean? And you're like, we'll end up there, but I don't know how we're going to get there.
Do you ever host dinners at your house, you guys? Do you ever do dinner parties?
Kind of. I like things like bonfire night. Because bonfire night, it's usually chippy night.
Yeah.
But I like fireworks.
I love fireworks.
I love bonfire night.
I like explosions. So bonfire night for me is like, I think Tess would rather lock me up. I spend a fortune.
Did you?
Yeah.
I always do on bonfire night. But we get a lot of fish and chips in.
I'm just going to come and sit outside your house.
You're more than welcome.
I'll see this display.
You're
be
more
amazing.
Than welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have buffet style fish and chips.
Lovely.
Got a lot of fish and chips in. Put them on the hot plate. We have a Lazy Susan.
Nice.
But it's a warming Lazy Susan.
Oh.
Yeah. So it spins and warms.
Oh.
This should be a warming Lazy Susan. Yes.
Yeah, it's perfect. Absolutely brilliant. Because those tea light things, they're all right.
They don't work.
But
they don't work. Yeah.
You know,
and then what about sauces? Do you have gravy and curry sauce options?
Yeah, there are options there in the pan on the hob.
Yeah.
You can have mushy peas if you want. Mm-hmm. But I like entertaining with no fuss, because as soon as you get into like posh food.
As soon as it becomes, you have to think
about
it too much.
Oh, thank you.
It's an effort.
That means a lot coming
but
from you.
But that's the same as us. We don't. I don't. I like you.
You can make like this.
No, but
you know
we
I mean?
Had.
It's like,
but I know you don't want to be stressed. I agree.
No, especially with like large volumes of people
and
fireworks.
Yeah, and fireworks.
And our friends have got kids. You know, we've got a lot of friends with kids. So I think it's a case of are we going to have people around with or without kids?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and people who are listening can relate to that because you're like, is it going to be one of them? I'm not talking keys in a ball party.
No.
Crikey. Oh, gosh, no.
Not one of them.
I mean, like, are the adults going to get involved, end up on the patio, sat around a fire, not in a fire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The kids change it, don't they?
Yeah.
Because I had a birthday party in the summer, last summer, and I was like, don't bring your kids because... It's just annoying, isn't it?
And
I was like, it is just annoying.
Because they're surplus to requirements.
And then people like brought them.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, bloody hell.
Because of the way that you've done your house, Nick, are you precious of kids ruining stuff?
No, it's just more their energy.
I get it. I'm there.
I know.
Yeah, I get it.
So what now? TV, radio? Do you prefer either or?
That's a mad question.
And I'm not saying, I think you're brilliant at both. Honestly, you're a natural entertainer, Vern. You are.
Well, it's easy to talk, isn't it? Like, we just talk for a living. Yeah. But I think when you say radio or TV, it's a really difficult question to answer because I want more of both.
Yes.
And I don't want to put one in the shade.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. But I think with radio, you're the narrator because you can listen to the radio wherever you are. Whatever you're doing, the radio can be on in the background. Mm. And I've always wanted to do an item where we get a listener to go into Halfords and put all the radios on whatever station we were on. Do you know what I mean? And just speak to the Halfords. Yeah. Hello!
Halfords Radio.
Yeah, exactly. But then with television, you've got to be static and you've got to have a remote in your hand. And when you're making telly, you've got to stop that person from changing channel.
Yeah.
So I think that telly will change in the way that we consume media is changing, that we want things quick and fast and 30 seconds, 40 max.
Yeah.
Like T4 links, really. That's what we're going back to. Yeah, I like both. I like the fact on telly I get a free suit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And like someone does your hair.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, look quite nice.
Whereas radio, you can walk up.
You can go in with a hangover, you're laughing, looking rough.
Oh, you sounded great this morning. You should have seen me.
Also, I like that radio can just be like derailed by anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like one text in about a cat or something.
Absolutely.
That's the show then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's so organic, as they say.
I like that feeling. I like the feeling I was listening to you a while back, and you were talking about the parking awards. And I was obsessed with how silly that was. Like on Radio 2 in the morning was a conversation about the awards for car parks.
Car parks.
And I love that.
You're going everywhere. You're in everyone's morning when they wake up.
It's like, it's weird because you're part of broadcasting history when you're affiliated with those big brands. You know, I mean, your stint there will go down as Nick Grimshaw hosted The Breakfast Show, which is an amazing, you know what I mean? An amazing innings. And you're there. You're now in the history of Radio 1.
It's funny because people, I think, still think you work there. If you've worked Radio 1, people like think you work there forever. Like someone messaged me yesterday being like, I'm studying media studies at university and I really want to come and shadow you at Radio 1. I was like, I don't work there, but good luck with
the
degree.
I've been there for a while.
I'm going to give it a Google.
It's funny when people walk past you and go, oh, can't wait to see you on Family Fortunes on Saturday.
Yeah.
I assume you're watching Challenge. I hosted it for 7 years. There's a chef doing it now.
But you have done, Vernon, actually, like major iconic TV shows, haven't you? The whole, and that's what I love about Radio 1 and Radio 2. It feels like everyone's listening. Like Family Fortunes feels like everyone's watching. And like, I'm a celebrity. I like these sort of like universal shows.
I'm a celebrity feeling. Was bonkers, though.
Yeah.
That was nuts. Like, to be a part of that and not have the responsibility of kind of
hosting the show.
A great job. And watching them work is amazing. But because we all kind of know Anton Deck, and when you go and do a challenge or a task or whatever it is, and I'm memoing now to Angela and Nick, they kind of like, oh, is everything okay? Absolutely. I'm like, okay. Show going well. And they can't say anything, but they try and give you enough to make you feel relaxed. Yeah. And like, it's a really weird experience because you're not in control. Mm. There's no point trying to think about what's coming. And you just got to let it come at you and enjoy it. And I'll be honest, I'm not lying. I had the best time because I had 5 weeks away from nothing. Yeah. I did nothing for 5 weeks. I had two weeks in isolation because it was prime COVID.
Yeah.
And I'm in this farmhouse in Anglesey in the middle of nowhere. The most beautiful place to wake up where you could leave the window open and it would still be deathly silent.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think it's that, when you live either in or just on the outskirts of a city, it's that peace and tranquility that you really hunger for.
And also a life like you, you know, you're from TV to radio, you know, you're busy, you know, you're not
just to shut down.
Who were you in the house with, that on your own?
On my own.
Yeah, isolation.
I was on my own. And they said, right, you can either have one of those prep menu things where they bring your food with instructions and you can cook. I said, no, I want raw ingredients.
Fantastic.
I said, like, I want meat, I want fish, I want veg, I want carbs, I want protein, I want this, that and the other.
Yeah.
And I cooked it all myself, but I came up with my own routine. So I would have a lie-in. I get up at 11. I go for, go for a run.
Yeah,
go for a run, come in, then have breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, with like a little bit of steak or a little, you know, some chicken or protein, some carbs. Mm. and then get on the Xbox, have half an hour doing that. Go maybe just go for a walk. I took my golf clubs, and the farmer would say, "Oh, you can. I've just mowed that lower field, so you can set your golf clubs down
fantastic.
There." So I was there with my golf clubs, go for a run, cook. So I was doing. It was mad. It was like there was none of. Have you polished the kids' shoes?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
None of that.
And it was really nice. Have you steamed the uniform? Like steamed? I am. But it was nice to have 2 weeks off life.
Yeah, I bet.
It was crazy. And Shane Ritchie, I knew Shane Ritchie was doing it. So I said to him before, I said, look, they're going to take all our stuff off us, your laptop, your phone. I said, take a burner and then we can keep in touch. So we both had these like manky burner phones.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where, it's like The Wire.
Yeah, it was like The Wire. But we kind of kept in communication up to the very last day.
Right, yeah.
This is quite a revelation. They're probably going to be ticking off. But you just, having 5 days of no communication, I need to speak to the kids.
Yeah, of course.
I need to speak to Tess and make sure that everything's all right. Yeah. And that not only me, but they are prepared for what's about to happen.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a big thing being in Ireland.
And they're seeing it, you know. Yeah. You've lost loads of weight.
Oh,
you know.
2.5 stone.
But you know what? Scarlett Moffat came on it and she said it's so much worse than
she said, they don't show
she
you
half. She said
it
was so much worse than what you see on the telly. It's like, can't be worse. She was like, it is.
Well, I don't know. Like, because you know you're going to get treated badly. You know you're going to have bad
you know mood. What you're going into.
The rice
and
the beans block you up.
Yeah.
So therefore, you've got to take a laxative if you choose to do so. Mm-hmm. Or some people, it does what it did to Shane. You know, because he was chugging all kinds of processed, like blended stuff, guts and fish guts.
Right. I always think about that. Does it not make you just puke?
I did 2 deer's testicles.
Mm.
Right. And
were they cooked or
they
raw?
Boiled them, I think.
Right, okay.
They boiled them. So what happens is, because they've boiled them, they're obviously full of fluid.
Mm.
Right. So I'm not going to go into the technicalities because this is a family podcast sponsored by Waitrose. First one, I put in my mouth and I'm like, okay. So I put my teeth into it and it felt like I was biting into a squash ball. Quite rubbery, tough. Mm. So I went a little bit further and it popped.
Oh.
Right. So I've got all this liquid coming down my chin.
Oh.
Right. So then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've just turned into a meme. Do you know what I mean?
That is it.
Like, I am done.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I look like something from a specialist movie. I look like a wedding cake. Do you know what I mean? Because if you think what a testicle is, and you bite into it and it pops and you've got liquid running down your face.
Yeah. Yes. That's disgusting.
Ooh, that's we'll have to see if Waitrose will stock them.
Yeah. We can sponsor by Vernon Kay, I feel.
Oh, beautiful. To do it. No, well, Vernon, thanks for joining us.
Oh, loved it.
And it was so much fun. Thank you for our stunning gifts of a spirit level.
I know.
Well, not just a spirit level.
Yeah.
Picture hanging set.
Picture hanging set with a travel one.
Yeah. And I'm taking you for dinner.
Yeah, thank you. Can't wait. Vernon Kay, everybody!
Oh, thank you.
Vernon, thank you.
You guys are awesome. Love you.
That was really fun.
Nice.
Very fun. Head to waitrose.com/dishrecipes. That is where you'll find all the meals we've ever made on the podcast.
Follow Dish wherever you get your podcast so you'll get it delivered to your device every week. And if you enjoy it, please leave us a great review.
If you don't, listen to something else. We can't all have a Michelin star chef in the kitchen, but you can get some Michelin star advice. Email your questions for Angela, wherever they are, to dish@waitrose.co.uk.
Waitrose, food to feel good about.